his epistle about how we are supposed to love one another. And it's obvious that there was a problem somewhere in that church. We know there was doctrinal issues that, you know, where people had left and what have you. But there must have also been some friction with that, where people had become more or less enemies of the people of God. And so he reminds them over and over. And today, basically the second half of chapter 4, 1 John, is all about love and loving the brethren, loving the church, loving God's people. And there are so many aspects to that that he lays out. It's phenomenal how important it is that we love each other, how important it is in our relationship, not only with each other, but with God. So we're going to look at this. Barb tells me every time I do this, I sing the King James song, "Beloved, let us love one another." She says, "Don't do it." All right, yeah. We were going to practice it, but that's all right. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. The first thing he tells us here is that love comes out of God. When we have a relationship with God, we're supposed to have love in our lives, in our hearts, and it's not human love. It's not the kind of love that the world has. It's a divine love. It's a love. One of the things that is different about human love and divine love, God never changes. God never changes. He's not going to be passionate for you one day and then not passionate for you. He's not going to pull you up close to him and then push you away, right? Human love is fickle. Human love can be, you know, one minute, oh, I like you. You know, as a pastor, I have been called a saint, you know, at one point, and I've been called the devil, and sometimes by the very same folks, right? But that's human love. That's human love. It's fickle. It falters. It fails. But God's love, praise God, his love is a divine love that does not fail. And it's constant. Just as God is constant, his love is constant. So if we're in relationship with him, that kind of love should be in our lives or is in our lives. And that's what he's saying here. He says, listen, if you, you know, want to claim to be a Christian, but you don't want to have anything to do with Christians, like people that, you know, I don't believe in organized religion, or I don't believe in, you know, having church or whatever. That's how do you live out the scripture like that, where he's telling us, you know, we need to. And actually, this let us love one another, without getting into the grammar, it's really in the voice of a command. It's about, you know, like, and so I would say we should love one another, right? It's because love comes from God into us, and if we're going to love, then we're going to be like God and have that. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And how many times, you know, John 3:16, we know that. He said this earlier here. Every time people want to describe God's love, it centers on the gift of Jesus Christ coming for us. And think of what that does for us. We teach the kids the Romans 5, you know, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The love of God is expressed to us through Jesus Christ giving himself on the cross for us, rising up and giving us a power to live a new life. So he doesn't say here in this text, he doesn't say he sent his only Son to forgive us. That's not what it's all about, right? That's part of it. That's how you start. But he says that we might live through him. And if there's a dynamic relationship that takes place in us through Jesus Christ, then when Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead, it changed our ability to have a relationship with God. So in Romans 6, he says, you know, we die with him, we're buried with him, and we're raised to a new life, a new way of living. So we live through Jesus Christ. And how did Jesus Christ live? He loved. He obeyed God. He followed God, but he loved the same way God does. Paul tells us, you know, we have to have the mind of Christ, which considers the needs of others, because he saw our need. He died for us. In chapter 3, he said the same thing. He said Christ died for us, and we should be compassionate towards one another, right? So this idea, this connects us. This connects us. The idea that we're living through Christ together. How many of you are living through Christ? Christ in your heart, Christ in your life, Christ in your mind. Ezra raised his hand. I saw him. Yeah. But Christ is in us, right? And I mean, one of the things that I've always felt about, like, our church and the different complexions of human beings that are here, you know, that what do we have in common? Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the blood of Christ. It makes us family. It makes us, you know, like we're supposed to be close. And so he says God shows us his love by basically giving us the ability to live through Christ, and that's how the love of God gets in our lives, and that's what connects us. He says, this is love, not that we loved God. Now, this is a very Reformed statement. We didn't choose. We didn't say, oh, I love God, and so then I'm getting right with God. That's not how it works. It's that God loved us. God loved us, and he sent Jesus for us. He acted first. He acted on my behalf. I don't know if you ever think about what would have happened to you had Christ not come. Where would we be? What would we be like? What kind of hope would we have in this world if Jesus Christ had not come because God sent him to make it so we can have a relationship with him? He sent him so that we could live through him. He sent him so we could have forgiveness, we could have grace, but we could also have power from heaven. What would our life be without that? Where would we be? Jesus Christ, our atoning sacrifice to make it so we can stand before Almighty God. So he's defining love, and he's saying that love is supposed to be a part of who we are. It's just part of how we get along with God and with each other. Love is at the core of the Christian experience. It has to be, or else it's not a Christian experience. If it's just church, or it's just theology, or it's just ideas, that's not it. There's got to be love. It's got to be the same kind of love God had for us, in us, working out towards others. Now, I want to contextualize this for you a little bit so that we see how John is talking to this audience, because there's basically, he's not saying to love the way the world loves. I already kind of mentioned that, right? But it's about loving one another. And he says this over and over, like when he talks about compassion in 3:16 and 17. He says, when you see your brother in need and you shut off your compassion, how does the love of God dwell in you? No. So when it comes to the family of God, there has to be a special relationship. There has to be a deeper level of commitment to each other, to care for each other, encourage each other, and that kind of thing. So he's talking about localized God's people, you know, loving them. He's talked about the idea of us having a relationship with God. He called it fellowship. We have fellowship. Remember chapter 1, the very beginning. We have fellowship with God. We have fellowship with Jesus. We have fellowship with apostles. And here he's saying, and we have fellowship, community with each other. That we are supposed to have that same thing where we walk in common. That's what the word fellowship means. We live in the light. We take sin seriously. We keep the word of God, and we love the brethren. That was the first time he brought it up. It was in chapter 2. We have that Christ-like compassion. Right. Now, in the mix of this, he's also warning them about Antichrist and warning about people that walk in darkness and the other side. And I put those two together. Think of what he's talking about. He's talking to a group of people that has suffered under the bad theology and maybe accusations of a group that left. And they're like, you know, throwing darts at them, if you will. Fiery darts. And he's saying, listen, what you have to do in order to overcome what's going on out there is you have to, when you come into this place, you have to love. You have to be there for each other. Because out there, it's dangerous. Out there might be trouble. Out there might be, you know, all kinds of crazy opinions. Think of what love is out there. Love is like a crooked lifestyle. I heard the term gender fluidity this year. You know, and that's our culture. It's like, you know, so that means I got to love people that are really heading towards destruction. That's what the world says. I got to tolerate that. And I got to teach kids that, you know, that's okay. And we're going to let you choose. And that's not at all love. That's horrible. That's horrible. They don't want to ever have anyone question morality. Love is just letting things go. That's not Christian love. That's not God's love. God didn't say, oh, I'm just going to let it go because I love you so much. He punished his son for us. He died for us so that we could actually get better, so we could actually walk closer, so we could live through Jesus Christ and be his, right? And have Christ in us in a way that makes us able to actually love the way God loves and see the way. It's not letting things go. How many of us, when we see something in our life, you know, we pray, God, help me to be stronger, help me to overcome, help me to do better, right? That's love. That's God's love working in us. The world just says, don't worry about it. Let it go. Tolerate everything. So what we're looking at here is a call to the community of God to make sure they're looking out for one another. You know, in the midst of all these other things that John's talked about here, he keeps bringing up love, love, love. And it's always about the family, the brethren, the people of God. Love them so that we'll be able to continue to walk with God in strength. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. So here, again, this is, I think, the third or fourth time that he's brought up this, and it's a command. You ought to. You owe it. Why do I owe to love you? Like I got a debt because God loved me, right? It's almost like the servant, the unforgiving servant, right? You remember the parable? The guy that was forgiven so much, but then, you know, wouldn't forgive a little thing. We're recipients of God's great love, and we should have some of that to share. And so we owe it. We become indebted to God because he has done so much for us in the relation of love that we ought to owe it to love one another. No one has ever seen God. Now, here's the thing about love and loving the community of Christ. No one has ever seen God. And no person, according to Scripture, can see God and live. Almighty Father. Right? People have saw visions and things in the Old Testament, but never God. Moses, it says, basically, if you know the Hebrew there, where God passed by him, he says, they translated hinder parts, but actually, you could call it the afterburn. Like God went through and he just saw, you know, whatever that did to the physiology of space and time. No one has ever seen God. How do you know you have a relationship? I was talking to this kid the other week. He don't believe in God, and he was just shocked that I was so certain there is God, then I'm so certain there is Jesus Christ, and that everything in Scripture that we've been told is absolutely solid and true. How do we know that? How do you know that you're right with God, that God's with you, that God's in you? He says, no one's ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and love is made complete in us. Think of that. My relationship to the invisible God is based upon my relationship with the visible church. You can't do this in isolation, can you? Can't sit at home and just, you know, some folks tell me, oh, I read my Bible, I'm at home doing this. No, you can't do it. You cannot be in relationship with God unless you're in relationship with his people, according to what John just said. He said, this is how I know that the invisible God, right, is in my life and in my heart because of my relationship with the visible church. We'll talk about that more in a minute. But it tells us we're in relationship with God. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. So we have two things. One, love. Loving the community of Christ equals knowing God. Two, the Holy Spirit bears witness. I felt the Holy Spirit this morning, and it was bearing witness to me. And I like it when the Holy Spirit bears witness to me. It just reminds me what I'm supposed to be, where I'm supposed to be headed, who I am in Christ. It's that stamp that says, you actually belong to me. So loving the community and the presence of God in our lives tells us that we are in a relationship with the invisible God. And we've seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So we have the community of Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the testimony of the Word. The testimony that says Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life, as He said. And the only way to have a relationship with God is through Him. That we know that. We know that that's our word. That's our testimony. In the book of Revelation, it talks about those who overcome, those who make it through. And it says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the testimony. By the testimony of His word, of who He is. We testify. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And we talked about that last time, talking about the difference between being in Christ and Antichrist. But we're talking about the things that help us to know that we are in God. We love one another. We have the Holy Spirit. We hold to the testimony about who Jesus is. And we acknowledge, again, who Jesus is. That tells us we're in a relationship. And we also know and rely on the love of God God has for us, for God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us. So we'll have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world we are like him. Now I want you to think about this because this is a question I think the enemy maybe wants to sometimes put in our mind or the world wants to put in our mind or sometimes it's just our own wanderings where we wonder, am I okay with God? Am I right with God? And I thought about this. I said, just you look at this statement. He's talking about how we love one another shows it, right? We encourage faith. Do you do that? Are you happy when you see someone confessing Christ? Are you happy when you see a life changed through the blood of Christ? Yeah. Do you encourage that when you see it? Do you praise God for it? When you see somebody going through something, a brother or sister in Christ going through something, do you want to kind of get around them and help them, pray for them, talk to them, encourage them, build them up? Because that's what love is. That's what it looks like. Do you want grace for your friends? They mess up, do something, and you don't want to get back. You want to forgive. Why? Because we've been forgiven. The love of Christ. Just think of how we interact with each other. How we interacted with the community of Christ. And if we can say, yes, I try to encourage, yes, I try to build up faith, yes, I'm always glad when I see God at work, and yes, I have compassion for those around me in need, that all testifies to one thing. I am in Christ, and Christ is in me, and that means I am in God. I have a relationship with the invisible God because of the love that He's put in our heart and how we interact within His community. And that means I don't have to be afraid of God. I don't have to, if I'm in that relationship, just think, if I'm in that relationship with God, I don't have to fear the wrath of God. I don't have to think, one day I got to stand there because I'm standing there right now, all right, between Him and His people. And then He talks about that in regard to there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. And no one who fears, the one who fears is not made perfect in love. So let me ask you, has anybody here ever been afraid of anything like fear? It's anxiety, you can call it, whatever, yeah. So what I think John is telling us is fear is a liar. Fear is a liar. If I can go back and I can say, yeah, do we encourage the body? Do we support? Do we care? Do we celebrate God's work in other people? Do we have Christ's compassion? That's all telling me what? That tells me that I am in relationship with God and that I'm in relationship with Jesus Christ and that I'm okay and that I'm not under the wrath of God. I'm not going to be punished, but I'm being made perfect by God. And our actions in the community show that. So I say, fear. Fear is a liar. Don't try that on me. Don't try that on me. Because I can look back and just look at the works that God has done in our hearts and our lives and say, no, God, it's almost like the Romans 8, you know, if God's for us, who can be against us? Not height nor depth, nor things future or past, angels, demons, nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, right? So love really is, in this case, he's putting against fear. But I think he's saying fear is a liar. Don't listen to it. Don't let it. You know, it really can mess up our relationships. If I start acting out of fear instead of out of love, then I'm afraid to talk to people or I'm afraid to act with people. You gotta let love have its way and tell fear it's a liar. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God who he's not seen. And he was given this command, whoever loves God must love one another. Think of what he said. What does love mean in us? It means we know the invisible God. We know the power of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit testifying to us. We know that we're not condemned, we're not under that. And we have no need to fear. Because God is in us, and indeed, God is love. Anyone who is born of God, anyone who belongs to God, proves that by a relationship to the community of God. How we love to see God working and helping and strengthening other lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.